Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to DSMA Live Rent Edition. My name is Bennett Dunlap, and I'm the parent of four kids, the younger two, who aren't really younger much anymore, but the younger of the four kids both have type 1 diabetes and have had it for a little over a decade each. DSMA stands for Diabetes Social Media Advocacy. DSMA Live Rent is a program of the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation, also known as DCAF, whose mission is to connect, support, empower, and educate people affected by diabetes. Tonight is June 1st, and we are recording our show live, as is our habit, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're listening live. You could be listening off of iTunes or something like that if that's your habit. So whatever works is great. We will be using Twitter under the hashtag DSMA if you would like to join us on Twitter. I'm joined tonight, as I always am, by my co-host, Lorraine Sisto. Good evening, Lorraine. How are you?
Bennett, hi. I'm doing well. Hi, everybody, and thanks for joining us. My name is Lorraine Sisto, and I have three children, one of whom is living with type 1 diabetes. Caleb is now 12, and he was diagnosed when he was 3. Our show is called DSMA Live Rents because in the DSMA Live family of programs, our show focuses on matters of parenting and diabetes, some combination of those two elements. On our last episode, we had Scott Benner of Arden's Day with us. He also recently started a podcast called the Juice Box Podcast, and so we talked a little bit about that, his blog. We spent some time discussing advocating for your child in a school situation. It was, as always with Scott, a dynamic show. We talked about, I think that was his third time with us, on a live program. If you haven't heard it, I encourage you to go to the archives, look him up on any one of those shows, and enjoy. It was a good show. We talked about community and what it means to us. And as our programming has gone recently, we have a monthly live show, and then we have a Twitter chat touching upon things we spoke about in that show. And our chat this past month, it was a fun one. I think, you know, we were gaining some momentum in terms of participation, and I was having a hard time keeping up with everyone in our Twitter chat, and we'll be doing that again this month in 2 weeks, Monday nights. If you're familiar with the DSMA Twitter chat, where DSMA got its start, that happens on Wednesdays as a rule, but we've added a little nuance to the rent side of things and have a live show during the month and then a follow-up with the Twitter chat. So, and we encourage you to go to our archives and join us in 2 weeks over on Twitter. If you're listening to us live now, we welcome you to call in. The number to do that is 760-283-5150. Again, the number is 760-283-5150. So give us a ring if you're listening to us live.
So how about a little news?
We tend to start off our shows with things that are happening in the diabetes community, anything newsworthy that we think might be of interest. And there were a couple of kind of headline events that were very impactful to some people with diabetes, one of which was Asante, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, closed
yep.
its doors. If you have heard of, I think it's the SNAP insulin pump.
Yep.
Am I saying that right, Bennett?
Yep.
A relatively newcomer to the market. Asante is the company who makes those insulin pumps or made those insulin pumps, and they have closed their doors. And I know that comes to much dismay of many users who were really pleased with that technology and the ease of the pre-filled cartridges. I wasn't really familiar with the product. I just know that anyone who I heard of who was using it was really enjoying it, and I'm sure that was devastating to hear that kind of out of the blue. At least it was for me.
Yeah, and it was sort of innovative in that it was built of components that could be swapped in and out, and the pump body and the controller and the insulin were all separate components that snapped together, hence the name. So it was sort of like the model of Omnipod, where you have a disposable pod. This had a disposable pump mechanism that came with a battery and everything in it, and at any rate, it's gone. However, what's the other part of the news?
Well, shortly thereafter, there was an announcement that Bigfoot Pharmaceuticals acquired, what was it exactly? I don't want to say it wrong and mislead anybody, but acquired the insulin pump resources of Asante to use in their, I think they're calling it artificial pancreas product. Actually, I'm not sure what term they're using. There's artificial pancreas, bionic pancreas, but Bigfoot Pharmaceuticals is doing their own thing and planning their own trials, and they are acquiring that, I guess, technology and insulin pump resources. They're not continuing to manufacture that product for consumer use, but it sounds like the fact that the technology's FDA approved, that it will help and benefit the progression of Bigfoot Pharmaceuticals research and advancements greatly. So that was kind of exciting.
Right, and for folks that don't know Bigfoot, well, actually, I think it's Bigfoot Biomedical, but we'll have to get Bigfoot, well, some folks from
Biomedical,
Bigfoot
thank
on the
you.
show. It is the three main people there are all fathers of kids with type 1. Jeffrey Brewer, the former CEO of JDRF. Brian Malish, who is a very smart coder. I think he worked in Wall Street for quite a while and wrote software for the financial industry. And Lane Despereaux, who previously was at Medtronic on their artificial pancreas project. They've hired some other interesting people. One of my all-time favorite people in the diabetes space, Jen Block from Stanford, is going to go work for them. So it is very much the A-team. I don't know who gets to smoke the cigar and says, "I love it when a plan comes together at the end when there's mayhem." But real interesting group, and yeah, having a functional and approved delivery device certainly will speed them to market. I think they have very ambitious plans, and we will do our best to have a conversation with them.
And what else do you have out there, Bennett, that you want to talk about that's newsworthy?
Well, so 2 years ago, and at the beginning of our June show, I introduced the Strip Safely advocacy campaign. And if we go back and listen to that, it'd be interesting to know that I think at the time I thought it was going to last a couple of weeks, maybe a month or two.
I
And
can't believe
it's
it's been
still
2 years.
trudging along in waves of activity as there's time to have conversations about meter accuracy or meter safety. So here it is 2 years later, and I have another announcement on the anniversary of that, and that is that some of the same team that put the Strip Safely campaign together have come out with a new and improved Diabetes Patient Advocacy Coalition, or DPAC. And DPAC's mission is to provide simple and effective advocacy opportunities for people impacted by diabetes for safety, quality, and accessibility of care. So what that means is that we're going to create an advocacy platform, and that's not just going to be about meters, it's going to be about safety, quality, and accessibility, and make it really simple for people with diabetes to advocate for themselves and their peers. And I think it's important because now more than ever, people living with diabetes need to come together and stand up for effective diabetes policy. Elected officials and regulatory agencies have a big impact on how we live with diabetes. And in fact, we're just talking about Snap, and it's significant that they were able to acquire the pump asset, or Bigfoot was able to acquire the Snap pump assets. And that speeds them to market because they already have an approved technology to deliver insulin for an artificial pancreas. So that's just sort of one aspect of where how policymakers impact our ability to access care, make sure that that it's safe and that it's high quality. So just trying to tie it back to our other piece in it. So but we as patients should have a voice in this process. And I think everybody that lives with diabetes knows that diabetes care isn't once and done. It's not like you go to the doctor and he gives you a Z-pack and you take a declining number of pills for 3 or 4 days or a week or whatever it is, and boom, you're cured, right? That's not how it works. Diabetes is a long-term process with no quick fixes, and I think that's very true of our advocacy as well. There isn't a once-and-done in diabetes advocacy, and we can't, like, write a letter and have it be cured. At the same time, diabetes is enough work already, right? Who wants to be trudging through and figuring out who's on what committee and supporting what bill?
Right.
And DPAC will do all of that. So we're going to build on the strength of the advocacy campaigns for meter guidance and strip safely and vote for DM and all those other campaigns and bring it into a total advocacy campaign package. And our first goal is to make sure it's easy for people, because we have enough of our attention taken up by caring for people with diabetes or caring for our own diabetes that paying attention to the politics and the policies and the and rules and regulations is really not a realistic expectation. We'll keep track of all that stuff. We'll keep track of the issues. We'll keep track of when there's an opportunity to engage on those issues. And if people register with us, and all you got to do is fill out your name and your address, and most importantly, your zip code, and I'll explain that in a second, we'll take care of the advocacy for you. We'll give you a pre-populated letter. You can go in and change the letter or a pre-populated tweet. And you can add your own story to that if you see fit. And in some cases, we'll even have talking points that you can open up and add talking points to a letter so you can customize it or semi-customize it. And the reason that the zip code's important is we're going to use a platform that knows every legislator in the United States. And I don't just mean the United States Congress, and there's 535 of them, but every state legislature as well. So, for instance, you know, we've talked in the past about Safe at School, and some states may have a Safe at School initiative that needs support. Well, we can help people figure out how to communicate to their state legislator, their state senate, their state governor. If it's a federal issue, your representative, your two senators, whomever. If any of those people are on a diabetes caucus at the national level, we'll know that. If they support a particular bill, instead of sending them a letter that says, hey, you know, Sally legislator, I want you to support a bill, we'll know that Sally's already a co-sponsor of a bill, and we'll say, hey, Sally, thank you for
right.
supporting this bill. And I think those thank you letters are really important. We're going to keep track of all of that. The platform that we've purchased will do all of that for us. So the ask will be, click here. It'll pre-populate the information. If that's already populated, and it's just going to be a cookie in your browser that'll remember you. Or if we send you an email, the email will know who you are. And then you can customize the letter and be done. You know, my partner in this is Chris Del Marciano Prigliano, and she writes the 2-minute advocacy drills on her blog, The Perfect D. We're going to be able to get that down to 20 seconds or less. I mean, literally, you could just get an email from us, go boom, click yes, go into the platform, click the activity, push send, and boom, it's done. So we're not looking to recreate the wheel. There's a lot of great, great advocacy done by the big diabetes advocacy organizations. But there's some things that they didn't engage on. They didn't engage on meters. Safety. They didn't engage on MDDS, which we've talked about on this show, that was an important piece of an important opportunity for diabetes patients to say to the FDA, look, we think things like Night Scout or Dexcom Share that take CGM data and show it on a secondary screen are really important in our ability to manage our kids. And that was part of the conversation that we had with Scott last time we were on, was his ability to keep track of his daughter's diabetes while she was at school so the school didn't have to. So, you know, those are the littler issues that, you know, the big organizations don't engage on, and we will. So, you know, that was kind of a long and winded intro to it, but I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
So how do you sign up? Tell us exactly where to go.
So, outstanding question. You can go to diabetespac.org for Diabetes Patient Advocacy Coalition on
so
the Internet.
So DPAC with the diabetes spelled out.
Diabetespac.org.
Got it.
And if you go there right now, you'll see there's a little slider that we'll talk about. We have we just introduced this site today. We want to focus on the large issues of safety, quality, and accuracy. And we made sure that, we had an engagement on an issue or an opportunity at each one of those issues. Two of them are federal issues, and one of them is a state issue, and you can go to the site. You can read a little bit about them. You can engage in one of the actions. Hopefully, it's all super simple.
Yeah. No, I've seen
it's
the
not,
site, and it is. What's that?
Know. I said, if it's not simple, let me know, because I want it to be simple.
Yeah, and that was my initial feel, was its simplicity as a good thing, because I personally can be easily intimidated by, you know, all this big highfalutin governmental legislative stuff and kind of glaze over easily. So I like simple. I like spoon-fed. I like the legwork that you've already done. And I'm excited, because otherwise I would be intimidated to take the steps to have my voice heard. That sounds really lazy.
Yeah, and I think that it's really important to get past that intimidation factor and spoon feed people. And here's why: I think that now more than ever, you know, the old adage was the squeaky wheel gets the grease. I think now it's sort of more like the squeaky wheel gets cut less. The one that doesn't squeak is going to get slaughtered. So in an era of increasingly tight budgets, we have to be as good as everybody else to bring attention to diabetes. Otherwise, I fear what's going to happen is that policymakers are going to think, well, here I am, you know, I'm now, like I have a new representative in the House of Representatives, just started in January. So he's going to get there and he's thinking, well, maybe I'll join the Diabetes Caucus and I can check off that diabetes box by being a member of that caucus. And, you know, if they bring something to my attention, maybe I'll pay attention to it, maybe I won't. And then the NIH funding for diabetes research or the special diabetes funding project comes up and they go, boom, they checked the box, they did their one thing, they're like washing their hands, I'm done with diabetes. Well, that's not how diabetes works. It starts with washing your hands and then checking your blood and then doing that 8 more times that day and then 8 more times the next day and on and on and on. And we all know that. And maybe a new legislator doesn't. So we need to be the squeaky wheel. And even if it's just as simple as click here and send a message and we keep doing that, week in and week out, we can raise the level of attention that comes to diabetes. And as a result, hopefully, we can get a little bit better coordinated policy and we can get attention to some of the other issues that aren't the big issue, like NIH funding. But, you know, maybe we could get some attention to CGMs for people on Medicare, and we can get some attention to the issue of, boy, you know, there should be some kind of post-market evaluation of medications. You know, there's in the news just in the last couple of weeks, there was a warning that there's possibly some concerns with the SGLT2s that many people with type 2 diabetes take. And it didn't show up in the trials. And the FDA issued a warning. They didn't say go off the drug, but so let's help keep attention on things like that. Let's make sure there's good post-market follow-up on medications, on test strips, on other devices. Just keep that pressure up. And Christelle and I will whack our heads against the wall and read boring dockets and try to translate that into actions, and people can click and shoot, and hopefully we might even be able to make it a little bit lighthearted and fun. So,
well, I have no doubt.
That's ambitious.
Now, so you sign up, and then what should practically on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week basis, someone expect to see in their inbox or on the site after they've clicked sign me up?
So I think it's safe to expect that you will hear from us at a very minimum of monthly, maybe more frequently than that. And the asks, I very seriously think, will vary, just like diabetes. And sometimes we're going to be asking people to engage their legislator with a simple tweet, and we can target tweets. We've done that before. This new platform makes that process work a little bit differently. Your legislature will actually know that you're a constituent. And maybe there can be a ladder of maybe a tweet on an issue, and we'll do a petition on an issue. And we're hoping to do petitions differently because, you know, a lot of times you sign a petition and you never hear anything about it again. Well, we hope to be able to package that petition and come back to people later and say, okay, well, now send a physical mail, you know, snail mail, the old-fashioned stuff, to the local office of your representative and print the petition out, and we'll give you the full-blown petition so it doesn't just go to one person. It goes to as many people in Congress as members of DPAC are willing to send it to. And people can see that there's a follow-up to it. You know, a lot of the petition sites that are out there are really just farming mechanisms to get names and addresses that they turn around and sell. We're not going to do that. We're strictly about diabetes, not type 1, not type 2, not gestational, all types of diabetes, because the complications don't care how your blood sugar got high. They're a response to your blood sugar being high. So we're all in that boat together, and that's the attitude that we're going to take. And I think we're all a lot stronger if we come at it together. So that's what we're going to do. So the expectation is sign up. You're going to be asked to take little steps. Most of them are going to be point and shoot, click. You know, very simple. Good. You'll get an email. Hopefully it's short. You click, boom, you're done. If you want to customize it and tell your story, we'll walk you through that too. If you want to go to an office, we'll help prepare questions on an issue that you can take with you. If you want to call them on the phone, we'll do the same for you. If you report that back to us and tell us how it went, hey, we'll brag on you and you know, help tell your story. So it's a lot of expectations from getting an email and clicking to as much as people are willing to do, or mm-hmm. being content that they fired off a point and click action.
Well, you know, congratulations on Strip Safely and getting this now introduced as something bigger, grander, more global. And not only congratulations on getting it going, but thanks for getting it going and making a difference and continuing to make a difference and making it easy for all of us to be a part of it.
Well, we hope it's easy. We hope you sign up. I hope you sign up when we're done our call. And you tell your friends and your family. And, you know, one of the things that's always frustrated me when I've done an advocacy thing is I sign or I click through an advocacy thing and it sends a message and it comes back with, okay, now give our organization money. We will never do that. We're going to come back and say the hardest thing was to get you to get past that and that anxiety of reaching out to a congressperson that maybe they know things we don't know or whatever, and taking that action, and we're going to say thank you. Please share in your social media channels with other people that may be willing to take the same action. That to us is much more important.
That's great.
So, you know, that's about, I don't know, got any other questions?
Tell me what I should ask that I haven't asked.
I don't know. I think I prattled on and told you all about it. So,
I feel informed.
What I would say is go to diabetespac.org, click on join, fill out the information. You can like us on Facebook. We hope to have the same kind of ability to engage on Facebook as we will have in directed emails. And in fact, it's conceivable that, you know, people would engage with us on Facebook. So, but what happened is, you know, we bought this package and we paid extra for the Facebook functionality, and I tried to implement it 2 weeks ago and it blew up, and we discovered in that process that there was a bug either on the Facebook side or our vendor side, and they have been frantically trying to fix that. So it's not there at rollout. I feel terrible about that. I really wanted it to be there, but it will be there. It will be there soon. And there's a lot of other things.
Wait, what will be there?
Facebook functionality. The whole thing can function. Many of its capabilities will function within Facebook. So
just
you don't need to get
an email.
You don't
need
to. You don't need to go to diabetespac.org. You can go to the you can go to the Facebook page, which is, I should know what that is, but what a ditz, I don't.
That's what I was going to ask. What is it called? Is it called DPAC Diabetes?
Hang on, I'll look it up. I'm going to the DPAC site because I know I can get there from that. I'm stalling. Vamp. Oh, sure.
I'm looking
just
myself.
I like it.
It's called Diabetes Patient Advocacy Coalition.
That's right. It's the full name on Facebook. And you'll know you're there when you see a multicolored sign and a little call-out bubble like it's in a comic book or something that says, "We are DPAC."
Right.
Hopefully people will learn to love that little logo.
I think
We're
I searched Diabetes PAC and it came up.
Good.
For what that's worth. Yep, Diabetes PAC, and it comes right up. Diabetes Patient Advocacy Coalition. DPAC is much easier to say.
It is. But, you know, we had to have DPAC mean something. It doesn't mean that we're a super PAC handing out millions of dollars, but that is actually a difference. And I think one question maybe, and you said, what should people be asking? It is perfectly fair to say, hey, Bennett, why are you doing this when there's so many little diabetes not-for-profits already? You know, isn't somebody else doing this, or couldn't it be part of one of those other organizations? And, Lorraine, I trust you will understand this, but those organizations are primarily organized under the IRS's rules as 3C organizations. And what that means is that they can, a contribution to them is tax deductible. However, their ability to lobby is very restricted.
Right.
And for a smaller organization, those restrictions can be pretty significant. So, we are not a C3 organization. We are not a C4 organization. And what that means is if someone gives us money, they can't deduct it from their income taxes as a charitable contribution. And we are then allowed to engage in activities that include lobbying. The very essence of what we do will be lobbying. And lobbying is defined as reaching out to a legislator and asking them to take an action, whether it's a specific bill or on specific legislation. So, you know, there's the most important part of advocacy in diabetes is what happens on this show regularly and other RENTS programs or on the Twitter chat or on the 2Diabetes forums or the CWD forums, where people connect with each other and support each other through diabetes. There is no question that is the most important advocacy, is that we advocate for ourselves and we advocate for each other just to get through dealing with diabetes. This is a subset, and this is like, okay, now if we can breathe and we have the emotional energy to engage we need to make sure that our policymakers don't make things worse. And, you know, there's many of us in the community now, some of us can specialize in this, and other folks can specialize in making those forums work to connect people, and you and I can do this radio show, and Scott and George and Cherise can do their program, and we can all get together in the Twitter chat and do the really important stuff, and we'll make the policy stuff simple so it doesn't cloud that. And I'm really happy that our community's big enough that we can specialize and diversify interests like that and be stronger. So, yay team.
All right. So, again, go to diabetespack.org, or you can search Diabetes Pack on Facebook, and you will be brought to their page there. So we are mid-hour, and we haven't introduced our guest yet. And we, if you're tuning in and you were expecting to have a conversation on the bionic pancreas, which is what we promoted the show to be, I don't think we're going to be able to have that discussion today. We are probably going to have to postpone that to another day. But that doesn't mean that we can't still continue the conversation with whatever else might be going on.
Right. And in fairness, you know, it was a last-minute glitch that our guest couldn't be here. We will go out of our way to make sure that we do have that conversation because we think it's important to connect people. So, you know, what you just heard was Lorraine and I ad-libbing. But fortunately, we had something to add about that.
No, I think it was it couldn't happen on a better day. The rollout of a great new initiative, there was a lot to say about it. So I think that worked out in that regard. When you introduced yourself, though, Bennett, you mentioned the word decade. And that kind of struck me because I myself have been thinking about, wow, it's almost been a decade, and frankly, I don't even know how long it's been for us that diabetes walked into our house. I think we passed 8 years going on nine. I don't think it's quite 10 yet, but that decade's approaching, and I think it's a significant mile mark, and it just makes me think because I have definitely, you know, had moments where I sit back and go, wow, what diabetes is to us now is so different than what it once was. And it's probably not just the passage of time, just the accumulation of 10 years, but the depth of growth in Caleb, my son, who was 3 when diagnosed, currently 12. A lot of changes happening with him from a maturity standpoint, both emotionally and physically. But it's really a different place to be a decade later. So I thought, you know, maybe we could talk about that a little bit. What does it mean to,
you know,
when you pass that mark?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't think that that's quite as significant as, you know, somewhere in the 4 to 6 year range, I think is a really, you know, maybe that's when you really realize that you've gotten your life back. I know that doesn't happen in the first year to 18 months or maybe even 2 years. You know, you're just scrambling so hard to learn. Yeah, that's fair. Maybe 6 or 5. I don't know.
Right.
You know, and if you look back at our history, you know, I don't think we could have done this show at the 2 to 3 year or 4 year point, you know, in our careers with diabetes, just because I don't think that we could have been calm enough. And I personally feel like that's a responsibility that I have, is to come back and say, you know, there is, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, I've got my oldest with diabetes as a junior in college and just got an apartment. And, you know, hopefully is getting all kinds of jobs to pay for his apartment and charting his own life. You know, it's a good financial move for him to be in an apartment for his last year of college as opposed to school housing. He'll save thousands of dollars net over that time period. But, you know, those are all really significant life milestones, you know, apartment, college, about to graduate. And none of those has the diabetes tag attached to it. And he was actually home for the weekend. And, you know, because I was driving him to the train station, I was backing out of the driveway. He said, "Oh, do you need supplies? Do you got stuff?" Yeah, I got it covered.
That's a good answer.
That's the goal, you know,
right.
Make diabetes second.
And that's why it's an afterthought. That's why it's an afterthought.
Yeah, so that's great. And I think that, you know, I think it's important to talk about that space and say that happens and that, you know, all the things that the fear and unsettlement of the first couple of years gives way to hopefully a successful future. So, yeah, you know, 5 years, a decade. In his case, it's coming up on 12 or 13 years. It takes that long. It's okay. You're going to be okay.
Everybody's different.
There. Yeah. Well, it took me that
long.
Your
diabetes may vary.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I'd be interested to know, like, how old were your kids at that 5-6 year mark?
Well, that's a good question. One was at 5 years was 12, and the other, that's the second one, and the first guy was 14.
Right. I think that might be even a bigger variable is the age of and maturity of the child, because Caleb right now is 12, and I'm starting to feel like things are going from worry to wonder when he's not with me. Like, it's not so much, oh my gosh, what's happening, and what if this happens, and did he remember
that,
to blah, blah, blah. It's just like, oh, yeah, I wonder what's happening now.
So, yeah, and I like that in the you know, the wonder, like, the not – I wonder what's going on. I'm puzzling, but I wonder, like, isn't it, it is a wonder. It is a wonder that they are out pursuing stuff on their own and being competent and, you know, getting into those early teen years and navigating that. You know, navigating, that's a miracle in and of itself. You don't have to put diabetes in the mix for it to still be a miracle. I mean, it's super miracle,
right,
when you add diabetes to it.
Right. Well, I remember hearing from different people, and I remember specifically Mary Schumacher, a post that she wrote where she said, I can't even remember exactly what she said, but the point was it gets better, it gets easier. It's not always going to be like it is with the wee ones, and, you know, having a wee one, I just couldn't even, I couldn't picture it, I couldn't imagine it. I had faith. I've always kind of had faith. There were people, adults, that I connected with very early on living with diabetes, and that was always reassuring. And I believed these people. They told me it is going to be okay when Caleb is older. I just couldn't picture it. And, you know, Mary's words as well, it gets different, it changes, it's not the same as they get older. I believed it, couldn't picture it, and now finally I'm living it. And, you know, I can say, I can be that person that says it does change, it does get less stressful, and even though you might not be able to picture it yourself, if you yourself have a wee one, I feel confident in saying yes, that it will come.
That's so absurd. I just agree with everything you just said, and my heart's just jumping with joy. And it gets back to what I was saying 10 minutes ago about the most important advocacy is that we connect, because it takes that connection for you to have the faith. You know, like you said, I didn't really totally buy into it, but I kind of, you know, I had the faith because Mary, we should get Mary back on. and have that whole conversation again. But you need to connect with people. You need to look to the people who are, you know, their kids are 5 years older than yours and find some young adults that are maybe a decade older than your kids and just listen to their stories and not really look for the tribulations, but look for how they got past the things that are your fears. We've all got fears. How do you get past them? That's just been huge to me. And in fact, in my fear years, you know, early first year of diagnosis, was listening to Christelle Marchano Prigliano's podcast, which was, you know, she didn't do it anymore. It was just 13 years ago. And she was sort of my lifeline. You know, I was so insistent that we do the news at the top of the show when we were designing the show program, is that's how she did hers, and that's where I got my news. You know, I stole that idea wholesale from her. And I got to meet her at the first Roche social media summit, and I don't know, it was 07 or 06 or something like that. And we just sat around in a room, and we ran around the room and told stories. Everyone told their story for 5 or 10 minutes. So, you know, it took an hour and a half to get through all of that. And to me, that was incredibly powerful because all these people were telling their story, and were telling me, yeah, you know, this was difficult for me, but I made it. And this other thing was difficult, but I made it. And you know, this is, you know, and every story ended with, but I'm here and I made it. And I went home and felt really tremendously empowered by that. My oldest, you know, I got home from the trip and she said, well, how was it? And I said, you know, we did this, you know, the conferencey part was, you know, everybody yelling at each other, and I don't think they're ever going to invite us back. They did, to their great credit, but the most important part was sitting around in this hotel room the night before and just connecting and expressing that we're going to make it and that you're going to make it and that being those role models for making it. So to me, that's critically important. And then from that, other things can flow. So who knows? So let's talk about your summer. What do you guys have planned for the summer? Mm-hmm. You're one of these families that has their finger in everything.
Yeah. Sports, yeah. I have nothing diabetes related for the summer.
That's fine.
Nothing of interest in that regard. We've got, you know, sports and whatever going on with the kids, but, in just a few weeks, one of my nieces is getting married, and all my kids are in the wedding. So
that's
an exciting, pivotal event that will be happening later this month. So that's big for our family. But otherwise, nothing too exciting. We're not doing any diabetes conferences or anything. There was a period where every year we were doing something, whether it was riding on insulin or going to Friends for Life, did the Clara Barton family camp, and I think that was a need for us at that time. And, you know, it goes back to that, it's kind of taken a back seat for us, and it's not ever something that Caleb expresses an interest. Every year I say, you know, do you want to go to camp? And he's like, no. I mean, there's just no hesitation. He has absolutely no interest whatsoever in going to the camp, and I'm not about to force him. So
right.
The opportunity is there for him, but he's got other things he wants to do. And I believe that there would be power and emotional benefit that he would gain from that experience, but it's got to be right for him. It's got to be something that he chooses. So summer plans are just kind of boring old. Got baseball, softball, swimming in the pool, hopefully, trying to chill and relax a little bit. And that's about it. What about you? Traveling? What are you doing?
We are going to, well, I think in the very near future, we're going to, my second oldest graduated from college 2 weeks ago. He just is in the process of doing all those getting hired paperwork things. and he'll be moving to Connecticut, and so hopefully he'll be getting an apartment, and we'll be going to IKEA and buying furniture that comes in a box with an Allen key and putting it together in an apartment in Connecticut somewhere. That's super exciting. I can't express how exciting it is to have a kid graduate college and get a job. And just to watch that excitement percolate through him as each step of the, you know, of the remotely filling out forms and proving you're a citizen. I guess he has to meet a notary somewhere. Actually, they're going to meet at a Starbucks, and he's going to, you know, demonstrate that he's got a passport, and he is who's the picture in the passport, and the notary's going to sign a piece of paper and send it off to wherever, because they have to document that he's a citizen because of the kind of work he's going to be doing is involved
okay.
computers that touch the government. So he, there's a background check, and that's all just exciting stuff.
Yeah.
We are going to be taking a short vacation. Well, actually, but it'll be combined with Friends for Life, so it'll probably be a long time away net. But my wife is working on getting her certification to be a school nurse, and she is cramming these graduate-level courses to complete that program. That she just did one. It was an entire program, you know, college-level course program in 2 weeks. That was very intense.
Wow.
Anyway, so she's got a little bit of a break from that, and we're going to go to Disney World as our thing. And some or all of the kids may pop in for a couple of days. Hopefully they can, most or many can come down for a weekend and we can go out to dinner and go play in a park. And so I'm actually really excited about that because it's what we did when they were little tiny teeny people, and to get to do it with them when they're adult sized people,
big people
with jobs and, you know, apartments and stuff is going to be fun.
Totally different perspective. So you will be at Friends for Life.
I will be at ADA. I will be at Friends for Life. I will be at AADE, and I will be doing my very best to find people that are willing to fund DPAC so that we will not be on a retail basis saying, hey, you did the important part of making an advocacy.
Right.
Now let's talk about money. We need to just get the advocacy done.
Right.
And, you know, separate the advocacy and the money.
So going back to
Disney,
though.
Of course,
if
somebody wants to give us money, that's fine.
They just won't get it as a follow-up email or prompt. Disney, that's in your blood. That's the first thing I ever
it
remember
is.
Reading. Did you have a separate site? Or was it on?
I did.
Okay. I
have the domain disneywithdiabetes.com.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's where I originally found you.
Woefully out of date. But we were scheduled to go on a Disney vacation a month. Well, we were scheduled to go on the vacation long before my son was diagnosed, and then he was diagnosed a month before with a trip. So we were pretty determined to go on that trip. So we learned type 1 diabetes. We crammed how to do it. We were pretty sure we could take it to Disney with us, and we did that. And then the following year, my youngest
yep.
was diagnosed on the first day of a Disney trip.
Right, right.
But that really, I think my affection for that dates back to I was just watching Men in Black. And I also watched the new movie with Tomorrowland. And there's a lot of reference in both of those to the 1964 World's Fair, which I was
yep.
at as a young youngster.
Okay.
And it was very, you know, I was six, I think. And it was really made a big impression on me. And I love It's a Small World because I went to It's a Small World at the New York World's Fair, and I loved the dinosaur ride because that was part of Forge or somebody's ride. And there's a lot of Disney attractions that date to that fair, and I still remember. I
right.
still remember the Carousel of Progress.
Yep.
So to me, it's, you know, throwback to when I was a little, and now it's a, you know, when my kids were little, they had the similar experiences, and now my kids are adults for the most part. And it's just sort of that thread of continuity from my being a wee youngin' to their being a wee youngin' to us now going down, and the biggest attraction of all is going out to dinner together at a restaurant we all like, and we know the waiter. And
which one?
It's just the California Grill.
Which, wait, what is it? Is that, where is that?
That is the restaurant on top of the Contemporary, you know, the big A-frame building that the monorail goes through. There's a restaurant at the very top of that. Yep, and it looks out over the park.
I don't think I've ever been there.
It's my favorite restaurant in the world. They have excellent food.
What kind of food?
California Contemporary American Fusion. They have a great sushi bar. And, you know, I don't know, years ago we would go out to the restaurant and we would challenge the kids. You can have anything you want, but you got to try something that's just out of your individual wheelhouse. And, you know, Connor goes in there and I'll try sushi, and he loved it. We all love the sushi there, so we get some sushi. And we've known the waiter, Walter, there since, I think, possibly my 40th birthday. And for my 40th birthday, my wife surprised me with a trip with just the two of us. And we went to that restaurant, and I'm pretty sure Walter was our waiter. And we had a great time, and we always go back, and we plan our trip to make sure he's available. And
wow.
You know, just carry on. And, you know, we check in, and he's got three kids, two of whom are twins, so we want to see pictures of the family. And he's seen our kids grow up, and it's just
that's
a good
remarkable.
Time.
So and that's
killer,
what I was going to say. How do you not get bored with Disney?
Well, I go to the California Grill, and, you know, that's good enough for me. And there's enough changing, and I don't, you know, I have as much fun just rattling around being alone in a crowd and looking at the art and the architecture and the way they do things. And I enjoy the stupid, simple rides. I mean, every single time I go on It's a Small World because it reminds me of the 64 World's Fair, and I go on Peter Pan because I think it's awesome. And, you know, I do that, and I come back, and I go hang out at the resort, and the resorts are always nice resorts. And we go out to dinner, and I might have a cocktail, and I love fireworks, so it works for me.
That's cool. So I this is turning into a whole Disney promotion, but I'm going to just ask one more question. What's your favorite place? Where's your favorite place to stay there?
The Boardwalk Resorts.
Boardwalk Resort.
Boardwalk. It is. It's part of the Epcot. If you go at the back of Epcot.
Yes. Yep.
There's the Swan and Dolphin, the Beach Club, the Yacht Club, and Boardwalk.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
And I like the old, you know, Disney-fied. It never really was like this, but it's our take of what the old Coney Island Boardwalk-y East Coast resorts were like, you know, at the turn of the century. And you can walk from there to the Studios theme park. You can walk in the back of Epcot. And what we do is we'll go to something in the morning. Doesn't matter where it is, you know, whether we take a bus or we walk to one of those parks. And frequently we'll just come back and hang out at the pool and, you know, have downtime because it's supposed to be a vacation.
Yep.
And then we'll walk to one of those other two parks, go to the minor attractions that don't have huge lines, whether it's a show, or we'll go to Epcot and we'll just wander around getting, you know, drinks, and you keep wandering until that drink's empty, and then you get another drink. And
in another country.
Back. Right. You come back with a whole lot less money and a good buzz.
Seriously. So Caleb was diagnosed in January, and we had a family trip, not to Disney, but to Universal Studios. Had been planned just a few months later, So that was planned before diagnosis, and it was kind of similar to what you described, just a bit of panic. How am I ever going to make this happen? And I, in my research, is where I came across Disney with diabetes and your story, and seeing a picture of all your kids in Disney, and then they had the, is it True to Go or whatever? I remember that little tip you had, the little meter that's on the cap of the
You can slip it in your pocket.
Right, right. So, I mean, it was like, oh, my gosh, this is the Bible. I'm doing whatever this man says because I have no clue what I'm going to do down there.
Swag. Just go for it. You're gonna be walking so much, and it's so hot, and adrenaline, and anything you thought was gonna work for insulin isn't gonna work anyway. So just keep checking
that
and keep going.
That is totally true, and that is what people should tell people, because we were told, oh, but you're gonna be walking around so much that you probably, you know, it's gonna, like, the message was it'll be fine because all the crap that they're eating will be offset by all the walking you're doing. But the reality is, it doesn't matter what I did, the numbers sucked that week. So you might as well know that going in.
Yeah, but you had fun watching the fireworks.
I don't remember a lot of fun that trip, I gotta tell you. Going back a decade later will be a different story.
Well, I don't know. Somewhere in there, you just got to learn that it's just a number. You know, and well, there was times when, you know, we had to stop or one of us would pull over and you know, a couple of panicky situations where it's like, whoa, it's below 50. It's below 40.
Right.
You know, I need something right now. And you know what we discovered is if you say I need something right now to somebody working there, you got it right now.
Really?
You know, we had cast members that, you know, they had the millionaire show down there, and one of the kids plummeted. Yeah. And I pulled aside one of the people that worked in the show, and I really quickly told him what was going on. I said, you know, I just need to get him a soda quick. I just want to get back in before, you know, because it was still 10 minutes to the show. And they took me downstairs. They took me through a, you know, cast member only door to the cast member break room where sodas were half the price. Bought a Coke, filled him up, got his blood sugar up, walked me back to my seat for the show. Boom.
Nice. Good. Well, speaking of shows, we're actually at the 10 o'clock hour here.
Who would thunk it?
I don't know. We got it done.
We got it done. It was a lovely chat.
I
would just like to say, because this is when we ask our guests, is there anything you would like to say that we didn't cover? And I would just like to remind people that it's diabetespac.org or Diabetes Patient Advocacy Coalition on Facebook.
Got it. Close us out, Bennett.
Well, this has been another show, and I can't remember what I'm supposed to say at the end of the show because I closed the script 20 minutes ago. I want to remind people that they can visit diabetescaf.org, which is really similar to diabetespac.org, but instead of PAC, it's CAF. And they can follow all of the decaf programming from there. There's our show, which is the coolest because, you know, we're here. There's the Thursday show, which is the original. It's like Coke Classic with Scott, George, and Charisse. There's the Spanish language program. And there is the predecessor of all of them, which is the Twitter chat. And it just occurred to me that I didn't even go on to Twitter like I said we were going to do at the beginning of the show. So sorry, folks. And there's the monthly blog carnival. Did I miss anything?
No, I think you got everything. I want to remind everybody that in 2 weeks we will have a Twitter chat on Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we hope that you will join us. Like I said, last month was really great, very interactive, and it is not just for parents. It is for everybody. We value everybody's contributions. It's all about community, which we talked about quite a bit this hour. In a month,
see that?
Come back.
It's like
on,
we know what we're talking about.
On July 6th, we're going to have Neil Greathouse with us. And if you're not familiar with Neil, he has, I found him through on Instagram. He does this hilarious series of short little videos on Instagram. At least that's what I know him for. He's going to tell us more about himself, though, on July 6th. And they're just entertaining, informative. Just, if you're on Instagram or not, just check him out. He's at The Beetes, T-H-E-B-E-T-E-S. We hope you'll join us on July 6th for that show with Neil. This has been another edition of DSMA Live Rents, and we thank you for joining us. We want to remind everybody to wear blue for the Blue Friday initiative to bring awareness to diabetes. And on behalf of Bennett, DSMA's founder Charisse, and myself, we thank you for joining us and wish you a good night.